This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
To see you in person.
Absolutely.
So many games over the next month or so, isn't there? I suspect most of your squad are going to be involved and called upon at some stage. Do you feel a little better in terms of players coming back from injury after midweek as well? Do you feel better where you are now with your squad? I know there's a few obvious exceptions with RB Elliott.
Yes, the only problem we have is just for now. But for now, yes, it's much better because a couple of weeks or 10 days ago, we had pretty much 2.5 midfielders. And now that looks different. We could use the Porto game to give some minutes, to give some rest. And so now we have first time for a while. I have to make decisions, which is actually cool. But that's one game, and then the rest is coming up. So, but for the moment, yeah, it's right. It's better than it was 2 weeks ago, definitely.
Are you scoring two goals in most games? I think there's only one game this season you haven't scored at least two goals in. How good have you got to be to beat Southampton on Saturday, given that they did stop Manchester City from scoring at the Etihad earlier in the season?
True, and lost late against United. I think in the FL Cup against City, it was penalty shoot, if I'm right. So, yeah, Ralph is obviously organizing a proper team there, so for each game, and especially when they expect themselves to be, to have probably not a majority of possession, they're really well organized, I have to say. It's a 4-4-2, but at least they start very often at 4-4-2. Time to time they change, obviously, to 5 in the back during the game, but I'm really well organized, a very, very, very well drilled team. And that's the problem you have, so you need to be creative. But to break them down is really tricky. They don't concede a lot of shots on target. That's the thing, one of the issues we have to find solutions for. But that's exactly why we meet at Saturday afternoons, that we find solutions for these kind of things. And it will be again, thank God, then not for a while, but the last home game for a few days, for 10 days or so, or longer. But it is a home game, and I hope we really use that and enjoy that and create the right atmosphere, because that will be essential. That way you need to be ready to lose balls in tricky moments against Southampton because of the organization. Then in the ideal world, you win them back immediately. If not, then you will face a counter-attack or whatever. But they are not only a counter-attacking team. With the possession they have, they do some smart stuff. Really active fullbacks, good footballing, wingers come more or less inside, play the half spaces. Whoever will be the strikers, but all of them good on the ball, a proper threat, and that's it. It's a good football team, I have to say. But the Premier League is that strong that you, even if you are a good football team, you are not then in the top part of the table. You still have to fight for each point. But that's what Southampton is doing. And so, we know about the job, what we have to do. And the big advantage they obviously have is that they didn't play midweek. We did. And we always said Wednesday, Saturday is not the best rhythm, but it's the rhythm we have, and so we need to be as refreshed and as recovered as somehow possible, and then be ready for a proper one.
You mentioned the Premier League is strong. We expect another arrival in the Premier League, somebody you'll know quite well, Ralph Rangnick, is set to take over at Manchester United for the remainder of the season. Are you looking forward to his arrival in the Premier League, and how do you think he will fare? You obviously know him well enough.
I do. So it's tricky. So like talking, usually we don't talk about things. They're not confirmed yet. But if you tell me that will happen, then I might believe you. Unfortunately, a good coach is coming to England. So that's how it is to Manchester United. So Ralf is obviously a really experienced manager. Built almost famously two clubs from nowhere to a proper threat. had some proper forces in Germany with Hoffenheim and Leipzig. Did a lot of different jobs in football, and now, but it was always his first concern was always being a coach, actually being a manager, and that's what his best skill is, obviously. Yeah, United will be organized. I think we on the pitch. I think we have to, we should realize that, and that's obviously not good news for other teams. But all coaches in the world. We need time to train with our teams, and Ralf will pretty quick realize he has no time to train because they play all the time. So that makes it a bit trickier for him. But apart from that, a really good man and a outstanding coach is, if it happens, will come to England.
Thank you. We've got to Ian on the Zoom, on the telehere, the two questions. Ian.
Thanks, Matt. Jürgen, I wonder, I know it's not happened yet and not been confirmed, but just speaking sort of generally about Ralf's influence, how highly is he regarded in Germany and how much of an influence did he have on your coaching career and philosophy?
In between the coaches, very highly regarded, obviously. Don't ask me about the other stuff, we don't know exactly, but he did where he was, he did incredible jobs. It started early as a very, very young man at Stuttgart, coaching the second team, going from there. I don't know all the early clubs he had not, but I'm pretty sure he went then to Ulm, brought them to the Bundesliga, which was absolutely insane that time. And then made his way up from there. We faced each other first time, really. I was a very young coach when he was in Hanover. He might have forgotten that, but they played always our opponent a week later, so he called me, the young manager of Mainz, and asked plenty of questions. I was happy that Big Ralf Rangnick was calling me, but he got all the information he needed. They got promoted, we didn't. So he owes me still something. And apart from that, really, in the football world in Germany, he's very well, very, very well regarded, rightly so.
And talking about your team at the moment, what sort of a decision have you got at left back, considering Kostas Tsimikas' performances this season? You said before you've got lots of decisions to make, which is a good thing, but at left back in particular, how much is he pushing Andy Robertson?
He's pushing, but I don't see that pushing in that sense. Robbo is Robbo, and Robbo, it's a bit strange that people constantly forget how good Robbo is in these moments, just because Kostas is good as well. Thank God he's good as well. Imagine that. We would have a proper problem there. So it's much better than it was before when we had no real solution and really had to play there, which he did exceptionally well. Now we have different solutions. That's good. We have now, of course, Kostas as well. And we have Owen Beck coming up, real prospect. And so that's good for us. But I don't doubt Robbo at all. You saw Robbo coming on. He's when he came on last game, he didn't play that game because if he plays the game after his little injury, there's no chance to play the next one. So we shared a bit the intensity between the two of them. Really happy about development, of course. That's really happy. But Robbo is Robbo and is an outstanding player. And if he has whatever had, I don't know if he had drops here and there in performance, it doesn't change my mind because you cannot trust people today and then don't trust them the next day. You have to show these kind of things and then you get the long term the best out of players, and that's why it's not a difficult decision to have to make. But really happy that Kostas shows up like he showed up. I have to say he's an outstanding player. Robbo needed half a year, Kostas needed around about a year, so that's how it is. But now we see him, how good he is. We see really how good he is, and it's very good news.
Diego Ralf has in the build up to this said that if Liverpool are not back to their best as we in Liverpool were to last season, the key players will be back as well. But how do you measure your best? What would be your best?
To be where we want to be, we need a good balance in the team. We need just to make. So now had again we score each game 2 goals. But the week before we spoke about how many goals we conceded, even if it's not a crazy number, but for a team
problem, that region around the top of the table. We conceded in some games too many. That's how it is, and that's why we. That's what we need to be. To be the, a well-balanced team, that we really take all the risk, necessary risk for our offensive stuff, but be equipped, protected as possible, as good as possible. We need a high last line. As high as possible. All these kind of things. We need to be. Our absolute best in the defensive part of the game, and there's counter pressing involved as well. So then we are really difficult to play. If we are only one of the three or one of the two, then we have weaknesses, too many weaknesses for this league. And that's why we try to work on. We don't feel at all that we arrived somewhere. We just feel on the way. That's for us completely fine. I don't compare us with the team last year or with the team the year before. I just want to be as good as possible now.
Hi Jürgen, how are you?
Good. Hi Ian.
I think as we saw this week with yourselves and Chelsea and Manchester City, the Premier League now has three of the best teams in Europe, if not in the world at the moment, and you're involved in this title race with Chelsea and Manchester City. How much is this now the best Premier League ever, and how much has it evolved from the two-team challenge every season to now maybe three since you arrived?
Massive. The league made steps every year. So you can see it, but it's not about City, Chelsea and us or other top teams. The improvement of the league you see in the position slightly below, especially. I think the way Brighton is playing meanwhile is absolutely exceptional. Aston Villa is an incredible team. So Man United, we know all about the power. Tottenham, maybe some problems at home, but incredibly strong on their day. And they will be back again. Arsenal's playing that sensational football. Wolves plays after maybe a tricky start, an outstanding season. So, and I forgot 100% already a team. So that means just the league is so strong. I couldn't believe years ago that it will be like this, to be honest. So it's really tough. But it's, of course, very exciting as well. So I think it is the best league since I'm here. For sure, in the last 6 years, this is now the best league we had so far. But it's not because of the three up there, so it's because of the general strength of the people in the league.
Thank you, Mr. James. Merseyside, Carmark Association. Jürgen, you've spoken about what you need to do to stay in the title race. How key is it to keep Thiago fit? To do that, and I wondered if you could give some insight into how you manage him to maintain his fitness.
Both. Jack was an incredible player for us, of course, but we have to, we found solutions when he was not available, and we have to find solutions. It's not about one player out or in. We have the quality of our team when our midfielders are fit, and just talk about midfielders, and that's an incredible choice, to be honest, of players there. And Thiago has a very specific skill set, absolutely, and is very helpful on the pitch when he has rhythm and all that stuff. So that's the challenge we face. Give him, make sure he can gain rhythm, not overdo it. But we have that with all the players pretty much, and that's the challenge we face all the time, especially with the amount of games coming up. So that's why we took him off again now, this game, just to not get him the chance to get in get too tired in a game, but then the injuries might happen. So that's it. We have a similar thing to do with Ox a little bit after a long period. He played now a lot of games. We have to think about the same stuff. Others come back from injury. Top came back, for example, from Brazil with a really bad stomach. So we played then the full game, was possible, but then we thought, okay, come on, we should not stress it there, and left him out until played only 25 minutes or so. Hendo, who came back injured from the national team. Robbo came back injured from the national team. So that's how you have to get through these games. And, again, the Wednesday, Saturday is always a little time where we have to really think about how can we change. And Saturday, Wednesday, it's completely different. It's a day more. That's what you need. But Wednesday, Saturday, after all the games you played, you have to really think about.
Thank you, Cal. That will conclude the open part of the press conference. Yeah, Glenn, how, where you are, some of the details and the plan led to do into football this week. One of the proposals was a 10% levy on transfers to help clubs lower down the football pyramid. How you feel about the distribution of wealth in that case?
In general, I like that this kind of things get reviewed. I heard this morning really probably about it, but not probably, but I heard it's 107 pages, so I had no time to go through that yet. But in general, I understand the issue, I understand the desire to change something. Yeah, but I think there's a lot we could change to improve lower league or even non-league football, especially. I think in the professional part, English football is a really good place. Incredible amount of talents coming out of the academies, really incredible amount of talents. We see it here, but you see in other clubs as well. The players get much better, much earlier than in comparison to the past. We had always an 18-year-old who was a standout talent, but now we have more of these kinds. So there's a lot of good work done. But of course, for grassroots and or non-league football, there's for sure a lot to do. Or even for League One and League Two, I'm not too much in the subject, but I can imagine. There's a lot of help needed as well. Yeah, but how I said, I need a summary. I probably will not read the whole 170 pages, but I only got this morning about.
Can I just ask about fitness in terms of players still missing? Keita, Gomez, Jones, and Firmino. Any closer with any of them?
Harvey as well. That's it. Nothing happened since, at least my phone didn't ring this morning about any kind of issues. So the players who were involved in the squad last game against Porto should be available again.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.